Message this morning, I've entitled it, Called Unto Holiness, Called Unto Holiness. And, you know, we've been praying and we were praying at the Wednesday night prayer meeting on Wednesday night, you know, that God would do a new thing in our lives and that God would come forth in a greater way. And God's presence would be increased and, you know, God would move. We would know his power, his glory. And, you know, if we're going to come closer to the Lord, and if we're going to meet with the Lord in new ways, and if we're going to be prepared and ready to meet with the Lord, as we've been hearing in the prophetic words this morning, you know, it is important that we are walking in holiness, because he's a holy God. And he wants to dwell amongst us, not just in a way we know, well, the Lord is always there, but even in a literal, physical, in a tangible way, the Lord, I believe, is wanting to come in our presence. And it tells us, Leviticus 11 and verse 44. Leviticus 11, verse 44. And for I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. So this scripture, and there's other scriptures, that the scripture is repeated on quite a number of occasions, and it's very clear. You shall be holy, for I am holy. I am holy. You shall be holy, for I am holy. And the Lord says, I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourself. You shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with a manner of creeping things that are upon the earth. Now, in the New Testament, this is not just in Old Testament verses, but in the New Testament, the Apostle Peter talks about this. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter and chapter 1, and verse 15, we read there, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, and it's quoting from Leviticus 11:44, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. So the scripture is very clear. And, you know, sometimes we think, well, if God says to be holy, you think, well, you know, that's impossible. But if God tells us to do something, if he gives us command, he's not going to command us to do something in which he's not going to give us the grace to, you know, to be able to fulfill that command. And so there's a call to holiness. We must be willing, of course, but as we are willing, God can give us the grace and he can help us. In the book of Obadiah, one of those little minor prophets, just one chapter, but there's some beautiful verses there. And in Obadiah and in chapter 1 of Obadiah, there's this little verse tucked away there. And in verse 17 of Obadiah, it's just only one chapter, small book, minor prophet. It says, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. That second part. And there shall be holiness. And there shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. In other words, come into their inheritance. And here we see, you know, holiness is very much associated with Mount Zion. You know, when you talk about Zion and going to Zion, I mean, immediately, it's only those who are holy who are going to go to Zion. So they're connected so closely together. And Zion is a place, of course, of God's holiness. So holiness, it's an integral part of the message of Zion. Over 20 times, Zion is referred to as the Lord's holy hill, the Lord's holy hill, or his holy mountain. And Paul tells us when he in Hebrews 12, and that's the chapter where Paul says, he said, we're called not just to Mount Sinai, which represents the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but we're called unto Zion. We're called higher. We're called onward. We're called unto Zion. And Zion is the mountain of God's holiness. And in that same chapter, Hebrews 12, 14, it says, follow peace and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace. Pursue peace. But then it continues on. Pursue holiness. Follow holiness. Pursue it with all your being. Follow holiness. Follow peace, without which no one will see the Lord. And by the grace of God, you know, we want to go on. We don't want to just plateau. Thank God for salvation. Thank God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for speaking in tongues. But we're not to stay there. We're to go on. We're to go on. There's continually more and more and more in God. In Isaiah chapter 6, and that Isaiah was already, at this time, he was already a prophet. He'd already begun his ministry. He was already a preacher. And it was in the year that King Uzziah died. And God gave him a fresh vision of himself. He had a vision of the throne of God. It was the year that King Uzziah died. Uzziah was one of the kings of Judah. And he saw the Lord in this vision. Isaiah, already a preacher, he saw the Lord. And the Lord was high and lifted up. He saw the throne high and lifted up. And the train of his robe, it filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And those seraphims, they cried unto another. They cried out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth is full of those glory. Oh, what an incredible meeting with God Isaiah had. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. He saw the Lord in his glory. He saw these seraphim, these massive angels. And each of these angels, each of these massive beings, heavenly beings, they had six wings. Two of them covered their face. Two of them covered their feet. The other two, they flew. They cried out to one another, holy, holy, holy. Now these angelic beings, they were responding, you know, to what they saw, even with their faces covered. And, you know, like every moment, as it were, it was another facet of the glory of God revealed. Every time they saw something, God showed them some facet of his character, of his nature. They cried out, holy, holy. Only once in the whole of the Word of God is an attribute of God mentioned three times in succession. Holy, holy, holy. Now, they did not cry out, love, love, love. Is God love? Yes, God is love. But they did not cry out, love, love, love. They did not cry out, power, power, power. Is God full of power? Yes, he is. But they did not cry out, goodness, goodness, goodness. Is God a good God? Yes, he is. He's a very good God. They did not cry out, meekness, meekness, meekness. Is God meek? Yes, he is. They did not cry out, faithful, faithful, faithful. Is God a faithful God? Yes, he is. But the characteristic that stands out above seemingly stands out above everything else, the very essence of God, is that God is holy, the holiness of God. And in that holiness is found the brightness of his being, or the fire of God. In fact, the word seraphim, these mighty archangels or heavenly beings, the word seraphim, it literally means the burning ones, the burning ones. Holy, holy, holy. Holy is the Father. Holy is the Son. Holy is the Holy Spirit. And it's also, it is in literary style found in Hebrew form of writing. The repetition is kind of like a form of emphasis. Like in John 14 and verse 12, Jesus said, he said, verily, 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 verily. Like not just verily, but twice. Verily, verily, emphasizing. And if there's a third time, like holy, 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 it's like triple emphasis on that. It's like the highest form of emphasis. In Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6, at Mount Sinai, God spoke to the children of Israel. And the children of Israel, they were called. They had the opportunity to become kings and priests. To become a kingdom of priests. To become a holy nation. It speaks of a holy nation. A holy nation. So not just a kingdom of priests only, but a holy nation, a nation separated unto God, a nation that was holy. They failed. But God's purposes were still going to be worked out. And in the church, in the New Testament, you know, we see that happened. Because God has said, as we've already shared, Leviticus 11:44, be holy, for I am holy. And then in 1 Peter 2, in verse 9, in the New Testament, this is the New Covenant, the New Covenant in the church. And it speaks, Peter writes to the believers, and he said, you're a chosen generation. You're a special people. You are a royal priesthood. In other words, kings, called to become kings and priests. But then he says, a holy nation. You're a people who together are you're a holy people. You're a holy group. You're a holy nation. And again, what we saw in Leviticus 11, and the scripture I've already read, but I'll just go back again. 1 Peter 1, 15, 16. Be ye holy. That is the injunction that Peter gives. Be you holy, for I am holy. And remember, God will never give us a command that he doesn't give us the ability or the power or the grace to fulfill that command of God. What is holiness? Well, first of all, what holiness is not? Holiness is not. It's not just self-discipline. It is not just to be kind of weird. It is not just human effort and struggling to do right or be good. It is not just, you know, a list of rules and regulations and traditions. You know, the Pharisees, they had hundreds and hundreds of rules and regulations. They had many of the Old Testament, you know, rules, but then they added several hundred onto that as well. But it's not just a list of rules and traditions. It is not. Some people think holiness is, you know, is what you wear. But holiness is not, you know, in India when we were there, sometimes people, you know, would think, well, white is a picture of purity. And so often, you know, on Sundays, the men would be dressed in, the women would all be dressed in white saris, and the pastors and the men would often have white, you know, long white pants on, or a white jyoti wraparound thing, and then a white shirt. And so white representing holiness. But, you know, you can be dressed in white all over, but that doesn't change you on the inside. That doesn't change your heart. You can be full of anger, you can be full of greed, you can be full of lust, and you could be dressed all in white. Or some people say, well, you know, to be holy, you've got to have your dress down to your ankles and da-da-da and all kinds of things. Or your dress has got to, your arms got to go so far down and this and rules and regulations. But you can do all that, and if your heart is not changed, it doesn't make you one iota more holy. So holiness is not just in dress. You know, sometimes they say, well, if this was in India, sometimes they say, well, you know, to be holy, you've got to have your hair growing down halfway down your back. But, you know, if it's only growing to there, you're not holy. But it's not in the length of the hair or anything like that. In fact, some ladies, and I told some of the Indians this, some ladies in some countries that I have been to, like in Papua New Guinea, they cannot grow their hair down to their bottom of their back, because it grows, instead of growing down, it grows out that way and that way and that way. And, you know, so it goes like that. In fact, one time in Papua New Guinea, one missionary told me he was praying for a lady and her hair was white up like that, and he prayed, put his hand on it to pray for her, and out jumped a cockroach. But holiness is not, it's not just outward things or outward forms. Now, you know, on the other hand, the Bible does say we are to dress properly. It's important how we dress. We're to dress modestly. We're to dress as unto the Lord. But, you know, holiness is not in just outward things that we do. What is holiness? Holiness is a miracle. You know, holiness is a person. Holiness is the grace of God amongst men. And, you know, the word holy, it's a Hebrew word, and that Hebrew word is kodesh. And kodesh is that word, and it has the thought there. It has one of the things that it has the thought of is purity. The word purity is closely related to holiness, and it's a word associated with holiness, being pure, being transparent, a purity of the heart, of the motives. Proverbs 22 and verse 11, he that loveth purity of heart and his grace on his lips, the king, King Jesus, will be his friend. The Lord will be the friend of those who are walking in holiness. And purity of motives, purity of heart. Jesus said in the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, desperately corrupt. That's our human heart. We can't even know our heart. And, you know, I believe, you know, there's great pain in the heart of God at the impurity of his church today. And I believe God is preparing us for a new thing, preparing us for a move of the Spirit. But he is a holy God, and, you know, he's going to come to those who are walking in holiness. We don't want impurity. We want purity. I mean, if you knew the water you were drinking, if you knew it was 95.5% pure, absolutely pure, but the other half of 1% was mixed with some sewage water, would you drink the water? I don't think so. I don't think most of us would. You know, if it was mixed just with a little bit, you know, we wouldn't want to drink it. We wouldn't. Who's going to want sewage water mixed in? And it's the thought, you know, He is 100% pure. He wants us 100% to walk in holiness. And our goal should always be to be changed into his image, to be like Christ. Now, we can't do it in ourselves, but there's grace, there's ability. There's the Lord, there's the Holy Spirit. And we've got to be open to the Lord, that God would deal with our hearts, that God would touch us, God would help us. And that word kodesh, that word kodosh, there's also the thought in that word of, probably the main thought in that word, that Hebrew word kodosh, holiness. The main thought in that word is the word separation. And so we're called to be a separate people. We're called to be a separate people. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3 says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, your holiness, that you should abstain from fornication, from sexual sin. And then it says, God has not called us to uncleanness, not called to uncleanness, but he's called us to holiness. And so, you know, holiness, to be separate. Separate from what? The scripture says we're to be separate from the world. We're to be separate from the flesh, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we're to be a holy people, to be separated from sin. So to be separated. From evil, from separated from sin, that we will hate the things which God hates, and God hates sin. You know, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. There will be a separation. I think a story Pastor Bailey told, it was in Europe sometime during the 1800s, and they traveled at that time in horse and carriage, and there was this lady living up high in the hills, maybe it was Switzerland, and there was a long journey by horse and carriage to get down to the village at the bottom. But there was the road sort of wound round the mountain. And at one stage, there was a very, very deep, dangerous gorge. And so she had this coachman to control the horses and horse and carriage. And her coachman retired. And so she had to get another coachman, and she interviewed three. And she said to the first one, she said, well, how good a driver are you? How good a coach driver are you? How close can you get to the edge without falling off? And he said, well, you know, he can get within 2 feet of the edge without falling off and going down the big, deep, dangerous gorge. And then she said to the next one, the second guy said, how good a driver are you? How close can you get? And he said, well, I can get the wheels of the chariot. I can get them right on the very edge of that cliff and not fall over, not go over. And then she turned to the third driver and said, well, how far can you get? And the third guy said, I keep as far away as I can from that edge of the road, so I won't go down into the gorge. And she said, you're my driver. He was the one that got the job. So the thought is, it's a separation. Separation, especially, you know, from sin. You know, there's a difference between righteousness and holiness. Righteousness, we love righteousness. But holiness is more than just loving righteousness. It's being separate. It's being separate. It's hating iniquity and turning from it, but being separate. You know, Lot, the Bible says in 2 Peter, he was a righteous man. He was a righteous man, but he was not holy. And even though he lived in Sodom and he wanted to be there because it was good pasture land for all his cattle, economic reasons, but he didn't agree with their lifestyle. No, he did not. He said it was wrong. But he didn't remove himself. He stayed there. And we know as a result, his wife, she turned to a pillar of salt. And, you know, there's a clear distinction between righteousness and holiness. And so that's why 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17, Paul says, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Come out from among you and be ye separate. And, you know, God wants us. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, Let us cleanse ourselves, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. And so holiness, it is separation. And we could sum up holiness in two words. First one, to be separation. And the second one, to be joined. It's not enough just to be separate from sin, from the world, the flesh, and the devil. But God wants us to be joined unto the Lord. To be joined unto the Lord. And it's the act of being joined to the Lord that makes a person holy. Why? Because God is holy. God is holy. As we have read, I am holy, therefore you be holy also. So holiness is being separated, and then it's being joined unto the Lord. And, you know, Jesus said, John 15:4, abide in me and I in you. And how do we abide in him? We are to abide in him day by day as we read the word of God, as we obey the word of God, as we walk in obedience and abide in him. It's a day-to-day walk. And God wants us, as we are joined to God, God will cause us to walk in that Spirit of God and be led by the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 12:10 says we're to be partakers of the holiness of God. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And when Jesus comes again at that first resurrection and the second coming of Jesus, the Lord will come with a shout of the trumpet and the sound of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise forth, and all those who are left and remain shall be caught up together to be with the Lord in the air. And so shall we always be with the Lord. You know, Pastor Bailey had a vision of that. And he saw men screaming, and those without Christ. He saw men screaming and crying out to the rocks, the hills, the mountains, to cover them, to protect them from the face of a righteous judge. And in that vision, it was an awesome thing. Only those who had prepared themselves, you know, could look on the beauty and the wonder of his holy face, the face of the Son of God. And so we want to be those being prepared for the coming of the Lord. By the grace of God, we want to be those who walk in holiness before God, who walk in purity, who are separated from sin and from evil and the world and things which would drag us down, and to be joined unto the Lord with all our being. Oh, that there be a cry in each of our hearts. And you know, doesn't happen just bang overnight. No, it's a process. But that we would cry out to the Lord, 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 work out your holiness, perfect your holiness in my life. And then when the Holy Spirit pinpoints things in our life, we'll acknowledge them, we'll put them right, we'll ask forgiveness, we go on in God. We're called unto holiness. God is a holy God. We are called to holiness. Thank you, Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We bless you. You are an awesome God. You're an awesome God. You're a pure God. You're a holy God. And Lord, you said, be ye holy. Be you holy, even as I am holy. And Lord Jesus, Lord, we know that we can't do it ourselves, but yet we still have a part, because you have said to pursue holiness, to follow holiness. And Lord, so, Lord, help us. Lord, help us, Lord. Lord, Lord, to pursue holiness, to follow holiness, to love your word, to love your ways. Oh, God, help us to live a holy life, separated from sin, from evil, from the things of the world, from the lust of the flesh and the eyes and the pride of life. And Lord, oh God, you would help us, oh God, to be joined to you, Lord, to be connected to you, to abide in the vine. Oh God, we cry to you, perfect holiness in our lives, work it out by your hand, by your grace. Oh God, prepare us, Lord, for the new thing. Prepare us, Lord. Oh God, that you would come. Lord, that we would be ready. We will be able to handle your presence and your glory because you've purified our lives. Oh God, oh God, Lord, we pray. Speak to hearts here. Speak to all of our hearts. And may there be a cry in each of our hearts. Lord, work out your holiness in my life. Father, seal this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Musicians, come.